Thanks, Sue. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely, you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Some years ago, a friend who'd been attending church for a number of years told me that although he believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, he had not prayed the prayer accepting Jesus, Lord, as Saviour, because he was waiting for something to happen. When I asked what, he said he did not know, but it would be something big. Some amazing experience that he would know was his moment to ask the Lord into his life. What about you? Are you on the edge of faith, looking and believing, but waiting for some big event, some amazing experience to enable you to take that step of commitment, to pray that prayer inviting Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour? I'm not quite sure where my friend got the idea from that some big, unmistakable event was the way into the kingdom. Perhaps he'd been encouraged to listen to the amazing testimonies, people who had encountered Jesus, a bit like in the manner of Paul, as he did on the road to Damascus. A moment of clarity, a moment when hearts are changed, eyes are opened, a moment like these disciples experienced, hiding in the room, the doors locked in fear of discovery, not sure what their next move would be, when suddenly, unexpectedly, Jesus is there, standing among them, speaking to them, holding out his hands to show them the nail marks, showing them his side, where the spear had pierced him. Alive, risen from the dead, and present with them. An amazing revelation. The stories, the rumours of the resurrection suddenly and completely confirmed. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas wasn't there, and he was not convinced by his friend's testimony. He wanted the same evidence they had had. No, he wanted more. He wanted not just to see the Lord, not just to see the nail marks, he wanted to touch them. He wanted to put his hand in the wound in his side. Nothing short of that would convince him that Jesus was risen from the dead. Last Sunday, Kath took us through the events of the week leading up to when the women found the tomb empty. How the disciples had been on this roller coaster of highs and lows. The triumphant entry as the people proclaimed Jesus as Messiah, the Son of David, shouting Hosanna. And all the way down to the depths of despair as Jesus breathes his last on the cross. This was the end, they believed, of everything they'd hoped for, everything they'd dreamed of. Jesus was going to be king, the kingdom of God. Their kingdom would be great again. The Romans would be chased out of their land, and Jesus would reign, a great king, a strong king, a king like David. There would be deliverance for the hands of their enemy, a chance to live in freedom, and for them, a chance to be in positions of power. As close friends of the king, they were bound to be chosen. The disciples had lived closely with Jesus for 3 years, had listened to his teaching, But they seem to have ignored anything that Jesus said that did not fit with their idea of who Jesus was and what his mission was. When he died on the cross, it was the authorities who remembered Jesus said he would rise after 3 days, which is why they sealed the tomb and placed the guard, believing the disciples would come and steal the body and claim that Jesus was risen. But the disciples did not remember this teaching. It did not even occur to them to take Jesus' body. They were not expecting the resurrection. They had not wanted Jesus to die. They wanted him to be victorious. They wanted him to lead the people into battle, to overthrow the Roman overlords and re-establish their kingdom. And Jesus had described the kingdom he wanted to establish. He talked about little else for 3 years. He surely was waiting for the opportunity to act, the right moment. The arrival in Jerusalem, the adoration of the crowds, surely that signified that that moment was near. Surely Jesus would stop speaking in parables and call the people to arms. Surely the time was upon them when they could fight. When they came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter drew a sword. He was ready, ready to fight, ready to be general in the army of the Lord. How confusing then was it when Jesus stopped them from defending him? How confusing when Jesus reached out to heal the wound that Peter had caused. How devastating when their king was arrested, falsely accused, illegally tried at night, and sentenced to death. Maybe as they stood at a distance as Jesus hung on the cross, they were waiting to see if God would rescue him. How could he die? How could God allow this to happen? He was the Messiah, they were sure, convinced. And now he breathed his last. He was gone. They were alone, bereft, confused, lost, grieving for their friend who they had loved, but also for the loss of all their hopes, all their dreams, the end of hope for deliverance. The fact that Jesus had told them he would die and that he would rise again on the third day was forgotten. They hadn't wanted to hear about this at the time. It didn't fit with their ideas of how things would pan out. And they didn't remember it now. Not until they were reminded by the women, who had also been reminded by an angel at the empty tomb. But even then they didn't believe it was possible. The women's testimony was not trusted, not believed. And until Jesus appeared in their midst, until he stood among them, until he showed them his hands and his side, only then did they understand. They were overjoyed to see him. Another roller coaster ride, from the depths of despair to the heights of joy. John 16:20 reads, "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn as the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." Jesus is here in the room with them, speaking words of peace. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Being filled with the Holy Spirit would enable the disciples to understand and accept his resurrection. Remember what Jesus had told his disciples in John 14. "All this I have spoken while I was still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Thomas was not there. Not only did he not witness the appearance of the resurrected Lord, he did not receive the Holy Spirit. So his lack of faith is understandable, and let's not be quick to judge him. Thomas was still in that place of despair and grief. Now confronted by his friends, who are overjoyed and talking absolute nonsense about a friend he knew to be dead being brought back to life. It's not possible, in his view. And now babbling on about the wounds and receiving the Holy Spirit is really not helping Thomas to get to a point where he can believe. Thomas wants proof. He wants to see with his own eyes and touch those wounds himself. Thomas gets his answer. When Jesus appears the second time, he is present. Jesus speaks to him, offers him the proof he demanded. And Thomas falls to his knees, proclaiming him his Lord and his God. And then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead in order to pay the price for our sins and to set us free to be in relationship with him? Are you able to declare, as Thomas did, my Lord and my God? I began speaking about my friend who had been waiting for some big event, some big sign that would invite him to accept Jesus as his Lord and his God. But whilst the Thomases and the Pauls do exist, there are many, many more who are blessed quietly as they say that prayer, accepting Jesus as Lord and Saviour, receiving the Holy Spirit, and feeling the joy of being set free from sin, of receiving eternal life. Remember Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7? But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. If you are waiting for some big event, some big sign, look closely at this. A small gate, a narrow way, difficult to find. Something many people miss, maybe because they're looking for some big, bold, unmistakable entrance to the kingdom of heaven. John ends his gospel with these verses. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This passage is about doubting and about faith. John wrote his gospel so those like Thomas who doubt, who are unable to see the small gate and the narrow way that leads to life, might find faith, and in believing in Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, that they may find life in his name. Are you waiting for some great sign, some great event, some proof, some answer to prayer? Jesus says to you, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. These verses we've read together today are about believing and accepting the risen Saviour, about the things that stop us from taking a step of faith. about the doubts that we can experience. But John has chosen to record in his gospel those things that will help us to take that step of faith, to believe in the resurrection, and in believing that we might have life in his name. You may have prayed a prayer of acceptance many years ago, or maybe recently. Maybe you know with all certainty that Jesus is your Lord and your God. In a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of commitment. If you repeat these words quietly in your heart, and if you mean them, I invite you to join in the Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went to the cross to die in our place, that you accepted the punishment we deserve, that our sins are forgiven. Help us, by your Holy Spirit, to turn from all we know to be wrong and to follow you, our Lord and our Saviour, in whom we believe and trust.